Let me see them. Thank you, God. Lord, we just thank you for this morning, and we thank you for your love. And do pray, Lord, you just open our eyes to see the truth of what you're showing us, Lord, and that we'd be encouraged and be encouraged by how much you care for us, Lord. And I pray you just open our hearts through your Spirit. I pray I just speak words of the Spirit, God. So we just give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking at this morning at Luke chapter 17, Luke 17 verses 20 through 21. So Luke 17 verses 20 through 21 says this: being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." Now, it's important that we look at this, and again, the context is fascinating. It's fascinating. Because what the Pharisees, now these are the religious rulers, okay? These are the religious, you know, people of the time. And they're asking a question, and the question is, when? When is the kingdom coming? And it's really important, it's very important for the Jewish faith that based their belief on the Old Testament, that to see the kingdom coming, to see the kingdom coming. In fact, when you read through the Old Testament, you see where the Messiah would come. And these religious leaders, these Jewish religious leaders saw this, that the Messiah would come, and he would come to Israel, he would come to Jerusalem, and that Messiah would rule the entire world out from Jerusalem. All right? Now, that's what they saw. And so they see Jesus coming along, and he's doing some stuff, and he's saying he's the Messiah, and he's doing all sorts of miracles. He's teaching, and people are following him. And so you're coming up on this. He's building up this incredible teaching and presentation of himself. And so here in chapter 17, if we want to use chapters of the 24, the Pharisees are going to say, "Wait a minute, okay, if you're who you say you are, when's the kingdom coming?" This is really, now this is a big question. It's an important question. It's a biblical question from their point of view. They said, "I want to know when this kingdom is coming." All right? So, you know, they might have been saying kind of like, you know, "Put your money where your mouth is. You're showing us a lot of things about the Messiah, but when's the kingdom?" Because the kingdom is tied to that. And also, we know that the disciples, okay, and the disciples are all Jewish, so you have in the book of Acts, you have Jesus, he's resurrected, a resurrected Christ after the crucifixion, talking to the disciples, which is, you know, incredible. So he's talking to them. What do they ask him? They go, "Now is the kingdom coming?" See, because it's tied closely in to their belief system that this kingdom is coming and the Messiah is coming to Israel, to Jerusalem. See, now he didn't answer their question again. Okay, he said, "It's not for you to know the times." But it's a legitimate question, is the when. Now also, for any of you who have some kind of some current event things, you see the Jewish population is Israel, and right there they say this land belongs to us. God gave it to us. And they're going to stay there, and they're going to do everything to stay there. Why? Because they're Jewish, and that's the kingdom, and that's where the Messiah is going to come. So they're not going to be talked out of it. Now, there's people, like anything, there's Jewish people live there that are not very religious or anything. But the base of that, they believe that Israel is center, Jerusalem is center, and this is where the Messiah is going to come, and the Messiah is going to rule the whole world there. Then you have a lot of Christians that tremendously support Israel. Why? Because they believe the second coming of Christ, which is going to be there. So if you ever wondered, why can't those folks get along? That's why. That's why. Because the rest of the world doesn't believe that. But they believe it. And so they're not going to walk away from it. They're not going to walk away from it. And that's the issue at hand. So that's a little current events, if you have that, okay? But that's happening. So that's happening today, Okay, so you see that dynamic happening today. So at this time, we go back here where Jesus, he's teaching and he's going through this. So the Pharisees, so this is a good question. This is a good question. They go, when? Okay, the Bible tells us, the Old Testament, we don't have the New Testament. The Bible tells. So when is it? So Jesus answers them. So we ought to pay attention to what Jesus says right here, because he's answering that question that they just asked them, all right? Now, you got to understand, when he answers the question, they're missing, including his disciples, the Pharisees, and his, they're missing a lot of his main points, all right? And he's just teaching and teaching. You know, it should give any pastor encouragement. Somebody, I don't understand what you said. Well, they didn't understand Jesus either, okay? So it's like, so the questions, but here he is. He's going to answer this question, and he's going to give them the whole picture, which is a little overwhelming, but he gives them the whole picture, and he answers it. Now, when he answers the when here, he says something, and he goes, the kingdom of God, so they're saying, now what are they asking for? When is the kingdom of God coming? What do they see? They see a physical coming, and they see a physical expansion of the whole world where the Messiah rules a physical kingdom. That's what they see. That's what the Old Testament said. Okay, so that's what they're asking. So this is what Jesus says. And he tells him, it's not coming in ways you can observe, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there. No, not going to say it. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you right now, who's in the midst of them? Jesus. See, he said, no, it's in the midst of you. You're putting it on geography. Okay, and it's wrapped around a person. It's wrapped around a person. So it's in the midst of you. Now, can you imagine what they thought? What? What? Now, and that's not, I don't want to pick on the Pharisees there. Go, what? Because, again, what did the disciples ask in the book of Acts after he's resurrected? Okay, now? You know, see, they couldn't. They're looking for that physical kingdom. And Jesus, he's coming here. He says, no, it's bigger. It's bigger than geography. It's bigger. It's bigger than dirt, okay? It's bigger than the dirt you're standing on. And so he makes this comment. It's not, it's what you observe. It's in the midst of you. And I think also in the statement too, there's a figure and also a truth, and even now, that the Holy Spirit is in the midst of us, okay? So he said, so he's saying the kingdom's here. It's, that's what he's telling. It is here right now. And the Holy Spirit is there right now. And so is the church. Where's Jesus and where's the Holy Spirit? Y'all can answer that. It's in us. It's here. So it's in the midst of us. So where's the kingdom of God? It's here. It's here. See, so the question they ask, he told them, no, it is here. It is here because Christ is here, and we know that through Christ the Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit is working, and so therefore it's the kingdom is in the midst of us, and it is God working. See, because when the geography happens, when the dirt happens, Jesus is there, and the dynamic supernatural power of God works when the dirt's there. Okay, when the physical's there. So when the dirt is not there, the spiritual is still working. It's still working. And so that's what he's saying. It's not what you see. It's what you see. It's in the midst of you. So what he's saying to them applies to us. Amen? So this is what Jesus is saying. All right. And two, I want to repeat myself. When he said, well, that's kind of hard to grasp. You had his disciples, spent 3 years with him in a one-on-one, and he's resurrected. They go, now we get the dirt. That's what they said. Now we get the dirt. He's gosh, no, you don't get the dirt now. But what did they get on Pentecost? Holy Spirit. They got the power. They got the rain. You know, it's not the dirt, it's the rain. Okay, we'll give you the dirt later, but it's the rain. So what we need to understand is a church, and a lot of people in the church don't understand, The Lord is in the midst of us. The Holy Spirit's in the midst of us. And he's working through us right now as we make that connection with him. Amen? So this is a powerful statement. Now, how many of you think that the Pharisees got this? They went home, they got their little clique, you know, together, and they said, let's discuss this, what Jesus said. And you go, this guy, I don't know what he's talking about. This is not what we thought. You know, he didn't tell, and I'm being a hyperbole, you know, to make a point. He didn't tell us about where the dirt. He didn't tell us about the dirt. See, the land, physical Israel. He didn't tell them. What he did, he says, no, they didn't get this. He told them about the power of God reigning through his people and Christ reigning on this earth, independent of where the dirt was. And you know what this ministry is? This ministry that Jesus taught is worldwide. Because it's not tied to the dirt. The Holy Spirit is unrestrained. Amen? So he said, they didn't get it. The disciples didn't get it. You know, and so in the New Testament, on and on, there's further explanation of that. But for us, so we want to be encouraged. It says, where's the kingdom of God? It's in the midst of us. That means God's kingdom is at work right this minute. We're at in the church with believers. That's how God looks at it. Amen? That's how he looks at it. So what he's saying is this kingdom, the spiritual reality, is already at work. It's already, you're looking for this future kingdom. It is already at work spiritually. It already is at work, and I'm moving through this world now at this time. Now, what he goes on, and he even reinforces it, because earlier in Luke, Christ made it very clear that the kingdom was at work wherever the power of God was. He's already said it once. See? He's already made it clear that the power of God is at work wherever the kingdom is, wherever the power of God is at work. That's where the kingdom is, where the power of God is at work. He's already told them. And we see it in Luke 11:20. Luke 11:20. He says this, but if by the finger of God I cast out demons, what? The kingdom of God has come upon you. How did the kingdom of God? I cast out this demon. Where's the dirt? No, I cast out this demon, and it shows the power of God at work. See, it's a spiritual reality. It's not the dirt. And so he's making this point here. When I cast out demons, the kingdom of God, when I cast out demons by the finger of God, the kingdom's come upon you. Why did the kingdom come upon you? Because the finger of God came in. Amen? Now, what we need to pay attention to is because he's talking, we're going to see afterwards, he's looking forward at the function of the entire church. That's what he's telling us. See? And that's why Pentecost is so important. The Holy Spirit fell because of the Holy Spirit. Then the finger of God works through his believers. Amen? Now you have another in Matthew. It's really important that you look at Matthew. And Matthew quotes this same verse in Matthew 12:28. But what Matthew 12:28 says, that the finger of God is the Holy Spirit. Look what it says, Matthew 12:28. But if it is by the Spirit of God I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God's come upon you. You know, pray over something, cast the demon out, the Spirit of God showed up. What? It's the power of God at work. It's the power of God at work. Now, so we see that the picture that he's, you know, so he's, when he tells his Pharisees, he says, you know, I've been kind of telling you all along what's going on. You know, what's going on? I've been telling you. Well, we also saw something last week. Because if you're like me, you're like, golly, wow, man, I wish I was like super spiritual. And I really would have all that power of God to see God. I just wish I was like that. And I'd like to find somebody that was like that. And I'd hang around with them and see the power of God work, you know, have that super Christian. What did we learn last week? There ain't no super Christians. just Christians. This is the normal activity of any Christian. Because what happens with any Christian? To call yourself a Christian, you believe Christ paid the penalty for your sins. Amen? Have to do this, Christian. And then any Christian, when you complain that, what enters in? Holy Spirit. Every Christian. Well, I'm just a so-so Christian. That's got half the Holy Spirit. No, you get it or you don't get it. So you got the Holy Spirit, you know. So you need the Holy Spirit for the kingdom to work. You got it. That's what he's telling us. That's what he's telling us. And so, well, so what we saw last week, that with mustard seed faith, which means if you got any faith, if mustard seed faith is an avenue for the releasing of the Holy Spirit. Y'all with me? I haven't lost you yet. Mustard seed faith is an avenue releasing the Holy Spirit. We looked at this last week. What does it say? Luke 17:6. And the Lord said, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, and he's saying if you got any faith, just anything, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it'll obey you. You can say, tree, just get up, throw it. If you have any faith. And if you have any faith and you speak to the trees uprooted, he goes, that's the finger of God among you, therefore the kingdom is present. Or it's the Holy Spirit among you, therefore the kingdom is present. That's what he's saying. If you have any faith, that's the church. Amen? Now, some people, oh gosh, some people may go home, you know. We was talking in our home group. We said there's some mulberry trees in someone jar. And I thought we were going to go in the backyard and see if we just, you know, cast them out, you know. Well, what's the issue with that? What's the issue with that? God is going, you know, I don't need you rooting up trees. That's not what I put you on earth. I don't need you rooting up trees. What I need you to do is hear me and exercise that faith consistent in what I'm telling you. And it would be easier to uproot a mulberry tree. But the point of it is, it's you're doing what I'm telling you. And so our faith comes by hearing and the hearing word of God. And so as the Holy Spirit tells us something, anyone we step up, we're going to do it. And if he told us to uproot a mulberry tree, we could speak and uproot it. Now, what he's probably going to tell you is, like, you know, you're about half lazy, get a shovel, dig it up. You know, you need a little flexing of some muscles there, you know. See, that's why, because he's not interested in you walking around uprooting trees. But he's using that as an example of seed faith so that we'll have faith in other things. Amen? That's the point. He's showing us something. He's giving us a picture so we can see it and see it. It's the finger of God at work, or it's the Holy Spirit at work. And so that is the presence of the kingdom. Amen? And the Pharisees go, when's the kingdom coming? He goes, it's here. It's in the midst of you. All right. Okay. See, it's all connected. Amen? But we need to accept this as the church. And we don't need to go look for some super Christian. We don't. Does this super Christian have more of the Holy Spirit than you do? No. I mean, you got it, you don't. It's the Holy Spirit is at work. Now, some people pay more attention than others. Some people pay more attention. Some people are more dependent. Some more people more focused on the Lord. Some more people are asking and, you know, immersed in it and walking in it, you know, than others. But they don't have more of it. And then, two, this is so good. God is so good. He says, I will discipline you so that you can work more with the Holy Spirit. And so you be thankful, because when I discipline you, that means you're a real child. Because who would have a child and not discipline them? Parents. Parents. He says, that's a given. He says, well, I'm going to do the same thing. I'll discipline you so you learn to walk with me and release the Holy Spirit. And you'll be walking with me. You'll understand. And you'll do what I say. Right, parents? You discipline those sweethearts. And you're hoping that one day they'll do what you say. Jesus disciplines us because he said, one day you're going to do what I say. And when you do it, the holy power of the Holy Spirit works through you. You can speak to a tree and just throw it out the window. That's what he's saying. Amen? This is what he is saying. He's telling the church this. The Pharisees didn't get it. The disciples didn't get it. Now later, they got it. Later, they got it. Amen? So we're good. The power of the Holy Spirit is among us, and it's at work among us. You don't see it, the physical dirt, but it's in the midst of us, and we're moving in the power of the Holy Spirit in this world, and God's moving through us in a powerful way. This is how he touches the world. He says, and this is, and listen to this word, this is normal Christianity. Period. That's it. That's normal. That's normal. Now, however, he does something here which is fascinating. When he tells us, Jesus is declaring that the spiritual work of the kingdom has already invaded this world and is working through the Holy Spirit through each believer. Amen. Okay? The wind, therefore, of the kingdom is the present reality of the working of God in our midst. Amen? Okay? Now, here's a however. However, there still yet remains a future physical dimension. What does that mean? He's going to deal with the dirt. He's going to deal with the dirt one day. Okay? So that is coming. So that is coming. He is going to deal with a physical king. It is coming. But you know, the power of the Holy Spirit working through believers is not going to, it's going to be the same thing. He just changes the dirt. It's like, oh gosh, I'm right here and this, everything's driving me crazy and trying to work through the Holy Spirit. Now he changes the dirt. I'm over here in where his redeemed dirt. And it's like, I'm the same. I have the same Holy Spirit working through me and doing what he says. You see? But he will change the dirt. He will change the dirt. And so what he tells us in the next few verses is how he's going to change the dirt, which is really what the Pharisees were asking. That's what they were really asking. They said, oh, that's good, all that spiritual stuff. I want to know about the dirt. That's what they were really saying. Now, so Jesus goes on, and now we all understand the spiritual reality. Now Jesus goes on to explain to us about how he's going to change the dirt. And we'll hear that. We good? Okay. And you know why I understand that. This is when Jesus comes back. He eradicates evil. All right. And he transforms his physical world. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So he says this. In the next verse, in the next flow of the verse, he says this. Look in Luke 17:22. He said to his disciples, okay, now they're all around him. This is before the crucifixion, everything. They're all around him. Everything's future for them. What we have, the Bible, has been written for us. One for them, not the New Testament. So he tells them, the days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. What's he talking about? He's talking about us. Jesus, I just love to see you come. That's us. We don't see it. It's God, come. Everything's driving me crazy. I just, oh, gosh, help me. Lord, I just want to see you come. See, I desire to see a day. I'm not seeing nothing. That's what he says. Okay, the days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. Now, then he goes on to say, have you noticed there's a lot of people, you know, and even recently, that claim like, Jesus is coming back Tuesday at 3 o'clock, you know, or something. Or they'll say, well, let's go over here in this place, and Jesus is coming back, and then we'll be ready for him. And even some of them go, and this happened in L.A., they go in, they get a little, rent out a little place, let's go over here, and we'll just all drink poison, and he'll come and take us all. So people are constantly communicating, I know when Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming. Or they'll say, I am Jesus that came back. I mean, you see all sorts of stuff. It happens, all right? Now, so Jesus says, you're going to look for one of the days, the Son of Man. You're going to look for that, and you're not going to see it. But look at Luke 17:23. No one knows when Jesus is going to return. And we should not pay, listen to this, we should not pay any attention to those who tell you when he's returning. He tells us. I mean, if anybody just read their Bible, you wouldn't follow these. I'm trying to think of a good word. You know, whack jobs. That doesn't sound biblical, does it? But whack job, we know what that, you wouldn't follow them. Because I said, no, you don't. What does it say? Luke 17:23. Jesus goes, and they will say to you, look, there, look, here. He goes, do not go or follow them. Don't. They're going to tell you. And there's a prophetic thing because he's telling you they're coming. He's telling you they're coming, right? He said, don't follow them. Won't you just stop them from coming? No, they're going to come. You just don't follow them. And then he goes on and he says this. I was at a Bible study one time, and it was before I really started going to church. Says, come to this Bible study. I've shared this before. And somebody asked, and the preacher, the denominational preacher, and they asked him, said, well, when Jesus comes back again, you know, how will we know it's him, and how will we know it's Jesus, and, you know, does it where in the Bible? He said, well, you know, we'll just know it's him because how good he is and how kind he is, like when he came before. And I didn't know anything, but I had read the Bible once. I had read it one time, and I'm thinking, come on, there's a little more to what this than you're telling them. Now, I was guessing, so I didn't say anything, nor did I ever go back. See, because this is what Jesus said about Jesus, about his return. Luke 17:24. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. You can go, oh, yeah, no questions asked. Now, it's like, yep. Even those that don't believe are going to go, yep. You see what I'm saying? And it's right there. The lightning flashes across the sky. We're not going, look at the lightning. Hey, I just want to see how good you act. No, you know. You see what I'm saying? So he's telling us that's how we're going to know when he comes back, when he comes back. Now, he goes, and he's talking to the disciples, and he's talking to them before he goes to the cross. Now, they're not even sure about him going to the cross, being crucified. They're not even getting that, because he keeps telling them that. He told Peter that he's going to the cross. Peter goes, no, don't do that. That's what Peter told him, see? And then they had this exchange, and Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Well, that wasn't very nice for him to say to Peter. But Peter just couldn't grasp that he's going to the cross. So he has to interject again. Now listen, this is future, but you have to understand that I have to go to the cross. Because he says this, he throws this in here in Luke 17:25. But first, he, Jesus, must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Before he comes like a flash of lightning in there, I have to be rejected by this generation first. I got to go to the cross. So he tells them, like, okay, Jesus, anytime he's going to jump up and do a lightning flash deal here, you know. He goes, no, I have to go to the cross. And so they're trying to comprehend that. So he puts that in. It's future. He tells them it's not now. It's future when I deal with the dirt issue. Now this is really gets interesting here. Is that when Jesus says he returns, it's going to be a surprise. It's going to be a surprise, you know? And so we don't, that's where you don't follow anybody. Say, oh, follow me, I know where Jesus is. Well, that's no surprise. If you know, that's no surprise, all right? Because nobody's going to know. So it is a surprise. And people will be carrying on their normal lives just as if God doesn't exist. That's the important part of that. They're going to be carrying on their normal life just like God doesn't exist. They're not going to care. They're just going to be doing their thing. They're not going to pay attention. And he said, it's going to be just like the days of Noah. So what he tells us is you have an example of what it's going to look like. It's going to be just like at Noah's time. See, remember Noah, he built ark in his big flood? You know, he didn't have masses climbing in the boat with him. He had his three sons and their three wives and his wife. That's it. See? Nobody showed up. He says, this idiot's building this boat out in the middle of no place. You know. So, let's party. He's nuts. Yeah. But see, those people just continue with their life just like God didn't exist. So it's going to be just like the days of Noah when Jesus comes back the second time like lightning. And it says this in Luke 17, 26 through 27. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They will be eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Do you take this woman to be your wife? Yes, but man, is it raining. This is looking good, you know. This is a downpour. I didn't bring an umbrella, nothing. It's just like, yeah. See, they're giving and taking in marriage. You know, he's going to destroy them all. Where's Noah? He's in his boat. He's the one that wasn't destroyed. Amen? He goes, that's going to be the day. That's going to be just like when Jesus comes back. Same type of thing. Then he goes on to give us another example in case we struggle with this one. And he says, just like the sinful city of Sodom. Sodom. Why would you call a city Sodom? Or verses, why would we apply the name of a city Sodom to a lifestyle? Because it's permeated with that life. That's all it was. That was recognized. That was it. Permeated. That you just called the whole city. That's what everybody was. Sodomites. So it's just like in the days of Sodom. People were going about their normal lives. When fire fell from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be when the return of Jesus in Sodom. Look at Luke 17, 28. Now this is Jesus saying this. Somebody said, you know, that's pretty harsh. Jesus said it. I'm just reading it, you know. So here it is, Luke 17, 28. Likewise, just as it is in the days of Lot. Okay, you know Lot, this little old test. Lot was in Sodom, okay. Now, that's a bad choice to buy a house, but that's what he did. Tell me he bought a house, prices were cheap, and so he got him a nice house in Sodom, all right. And so he had like, I don't know, he had like two daughters and a wife and sons-in-laws and the whole bit, okay. So they're in Sodom. And so what God does, he sends an angel to say, you know Lot, I'm going to destroy the whole place. You need to come out. Come out. And Lot goes, okay. So he talks, sons-in-laws won't come. His wife won't come. He said, come on, he tries to get. And the angel said, listen, come on. We got to get out of Dodge here. Or we got to get out of Sodom here now. Okay, we got to get out. So Lot and his two daughters and his wife, take that, and his wife leave Sodom. He finally gets her to go. So they leave Sodom. So that's, God is going to deal with Sodom. It's just as it was in the days of Lot. They were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. Just life. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. That same phrase is with Noah. Destroyed them all. Fire and sulfur fell on Sodom and destroyed them all. And then it says this, so it will be on the day when the Son of Man comes. Like lightning, sulfur fell on Sodom. Flood fell at the times of Noah. He says, that's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be. So remember, what are these guys asking about? When's the kingdom going to come? He says, it'll come just like this. Like at the time of Noah and the time of Sodom. That's when I'm getting the dirt back. I'm going to get the dirt back, see. But there's going to, it's going to be some rough stuff here when he gets the dirt back, okay? Now, what we see, he gives another warning. Jesus gives another warning. And basically what he's saying us is, he's telling us that we need to have our hearts set on Jesus all the time. All right, and I'll just read this. I have on the overhead here, Luke 17, 31. I just say, remember Lot's wife. So we're going to talk about Lot's wife here. But it says this, on that day, Luke 17, 31, on that day when fire and sulfur fell, let the one who is on the house, when Jesus returns, let the one
who is on the housetop with his goods in his house not go come down and take them away, and likewise not let the one who is in the field go out and turn back. He says, don't go back and get your stuff when this happens. Then he says this, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will keep it. See, if you try to save your life in this world, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for Jesus, you save it. Amen? Now, what about Lot's wife? He just says, remember Lot's wife. So he's assuming we read the Old Testament. That's what he's assuming. So we know about Lot's wife. And what happened to Lot? What happened to Lot's wife is they leave. So he leaves with his two daughters and leaves Lot's wife. And so all their, the whole city goes up. You know, the whole house, curtains, kitchen set, you know, couch, the whole bit. I mean, the whole thing's going up, right? So they're walking out. And he tells Lot, said, don't look back. You go. Don't look. So he's heading out. He's trucking the two daughters, trucking out. And Lot's wife stops and turns around and looks. And she turns into a pillar of salt. And I said, well, how'd that happen? I don't know, but she's dead. Okay? We can agree on that. I don't know how she turns, but she's deader than a hammer. All right? What happened? She looked back, and then boom, she dumped. So now we just got Lot and the two daughters. They're leaving. They're leaving. So when we look at this, we have to think, well, what is the Lord telling us here? Well, he's telling us that, and when we look at it, we know he has to be speaking to us figuratively. Okay, figuratively. He's given us examples like he always does so we'll understand it. And he's given us his examples so that we will be mentally and spiritually prepared for what's happening. Okay? Now, and what happened? We're not supposed to be like Lot's wife. What did Lot's wife do? She turned around and she looked longingly at Sodom. I mean, what she said, I love Sodom. It's not that bad. She looked longingly at Sodom. See, her heart was in Sodom. Therefore, she didn't go with Lot and the daughters. Because when she turned and looked back, she showed where her heart was, and she died. And she died. And so that's a picture. God is telling us we must give our whole attention to the Son of Man. We're excited. We're not looking longingly at this world. You can have it. We're looking longingly for Jesus. For Jesus. And that's what the whole thing is saying. It's a wholehearted devotion to Jesus, not to our possessions. And by the way, if we want to get technical about the whole thing, we don't have time to get the possessions anyway. I mean, like again, he's giving us examples, so is our heart. Because we're not going to have time to go get anything. So he's just giving us an example. And here's what we see. Now, this is pay close attention because you think about it. How's this going to happen? How's this? I mean, he's, you know, the flood, he wiped out everybody but Noah, you know, and he took Noah in a boat and Sodom, he gets Lot and the two girls and they leave and fire falls on the rest of them. He said, that's how it's going to be. And Lord, when you come back, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And Jesus, well, let me tell you. This is what's going to happen. When I come back and like lightning in heaven, this is what's going to happen. So everybody should pay real close attention to this verse. Luke 17, 34 and 35. I tell you, Jesus goes, I tell you, in that night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding corn together. One will be taken and the other left. Now, what is he saying? I'm going to come and I'm going to snatch up my folks. I'm going to snatch them up. Those that are looking for me, those who have a heart in me, those who trust me, I'm going to just snatch them up to heaven. I leave the rest there. Just like the ones were snatched up in the boat, the flood drowned the rest of them. Just like Lot left Sodom. Sodom was destroyed. So when I come back, I'm going to snatch up my people and I'm going to get the dirt and I'm going to destroy everything that's there. That's what he's saying. So we're going to be snatched up to heaven, and everything else is destroyed. And he goes on, how is this going to happen? How is this going to, it's going to happen in a twinkle of an eye. That's the reason I know you're not going to go back and get any possessions. It's going to twinkle of an eye. It's going to happen. Blink. What's a twinkle of an eye? It's funny. You can look that up in the original. It means like a twinkle of an eye, like a gleam, blink, thing. You know, it's going to happen like that. Boom. Hey, we're going to the movie theater. Hey, man, what happened to her? You know, man, you know, she could have told me she didn't like the movie. She just left. You know, see, what, you know, it's going, it's just, they're gone. They're gone. And so it's in a twinkle of an eye. Now, other places in the Bible, it talks about this. God tells us. So now we get the Apostle Paul, so there's a greater revelation of explaining about this when Jesus is coming back. Now, again, it's lightning in the sky. We know. We know. We don't have any question. But he snatches up all believers. Man, that seems hard. Isn't that hard to comprehend? You know what's hard to comprehend? Noah built a stinking boat for 120 years and saved, you know, he and his wife, three daughters and their sons. Now, that's hard to believe. And the flood came and destroyed everything. He said, but that's what it's going to be. You ain't going to believe it's going to happen. That's what's happening. And it's going to be just like Sodom. I said, hey, come on, Sodom, go out and your two girls. And I'm just fire fall. That's gosh, wow. He said, I've showed you twice. And it's going to happen again. And I'm going to just snatch you up. And that, Pharisees, disciples, that's when I get the dirt back. You know? And that's when I burn all this stuff up and I change it all. Because I've snatched you up. You're with me now. You're safe. And it says in 1 Corinthians, see we jump? 1 Corinthians 15:51. It says, behold, behold. I tell you a mystery. See, you don't know this. This is a mystery. This is a good thriller. You want to read through this thing. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, die. We shall not all sleep. But, and this is what I put on the overhead, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. I think, Adam, we had a song this morning. The trumpet sound. Trumpet sounds, you know. That's the last thing we remember on this earth. Trumpet, bing, we're there, you know. Amen? We can see if this guy blowing that trumpet was on sheet music or if it's memorized. I mean, we're going to be, boom, we're going to be in front of him right there. We shall be all changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, imperishable, and we all shall be changed. Bing, bow, lightning, boom, we're with him. Lord, he's about to take care of the dirt. About to happen with the dirt. When Jesus returns, all things are finished. The door's shut. The door's shut. Remember we had that one session we went through about, you know, when Jesus came back and he said, he shut the door. And everybody said, well, we won't end now. No. Door shut. See, when Jesus come back from the lightning, twinkling of eye, boom, we're in. The door shut. It's over. Done. It's finished. No more evangelism. No, it's done. And what he's telling us, see, therefore, and this is what the Bible also says, therefore, now is the time to carry out God's purpose he assigned to us. After he snatches me up in the twinkling of eye, I think I'll share Jesus with the folk. No, they all going to know it where you are, you know. Too late for the ones that didn't come there, you see. Now is the time to carry out the assignment. Now is the time to show the power of God in this earth and carry out the assignment and see God transform people. Because when he comes back, it's over. The door is shut. And here it is. For us, the when is now. Go back to our opening verses. Pharisee, when? Jesus said, now. For us, the when is now. When Jesus comes back, the when is over. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:11. You think Paul understood this? You think Paul understood this? 2 Corinthians 5:11. For us, the when is now. When Jesus comes back, the when is over. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Therefore, because the wind is over, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. Hey, we know. Well, I don't believe that. Hey, there's a lot of folks stayed in Sodom. You know? We persuade, we tell him we have a home in heaven. We tell him we're forgiven. Now is when we share. Well, I don't believe that. You better get an umbrella. You know? Because destruction is coming. See, destruction is that is coming. And so that's, so Paul says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. Because it's going to happen. And we know it's going to happen. Well, I don't know if I want to go or not. You know, I bet there's a lot of guys in Sodom. You know, Lot was a nice guy hanging around. He's out there trucking off with his two girls and said, I don't know what's wrong with him. He asked me to go. There's no way I'm going to him. Okay. Okay. The door is shut. The door is shut. The door is shut. Therefore, here we have, so we wrap this up. Now, any of us here in this room, and I just know all of you, we believe, we trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We know our sins are forgiven. Amen. We don't have anything to worry about. When we say, oh, Lord Jesus, come, ain't bad. Except the folks you didn't talk to is in trouble. You know, they're in a heap of trouble. But as far as we're concerned, when Jesus comes back, he said it's absolute, total joy. We go with him. We're forever with the Lord in the heavens for all eternity. Hallelujah. Amen? We don't have nothing to worry about. Not one thing. We rejoice in this message. We rejoice in that. We're in heaven for eternity with God. It's the ones who don't believe it that are not. Amen? So don't be sad about us. We're good. But it's like, oh, I'm so worried about X, Y, and Z. Well, go tell X, Y, and Z. Then they have to make a decision. And it's their decision. It's their decision. Because it's going to happen. Just like the flood happened. Just like Sodom was destroyed happened. Jesus is going to come back. And it's going to happen. And he's going to judge all people. It's going to happen. But we're in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise Jesus. Oh, isn't it good to have the Lord's Supper this morning? He said, you take, do this and remember it's me. Oh, gosh, I remember you. I think I'm going to remember you the other 6 days. You know, the other 30-some days, you know, 30 days. I'm going to remember you, Lord Jesus, you know, once a month. I think I'm going to take the Lord's Supper every morning. He says, I want to remember you. Why? Because what he's done for us. And so, for us, Jesus love us, the win is now in John 3:16. For God so loved you. For God so loved you that he gave his only son for you, that when you believe in him, you will not perish and you will have eternal life. And you will be caught up with the Lord for all eternity. You will be lifted up out of this mess and you will be with the Lord and the Lord will come and claim the dirt. Amen? And then we come back, it's a clean house. It's a clean house. I mean, he's going to clean this place up. So we're going to come in. It's like you ever buy a home, you walk in, it's all set up and everything's in. You walk in, wow, I wish it'd just stay this way, you know. That's what we're going to walk in and say, wow, man, this is looking good. See, because he's going to clean it up. He's going to clean it up. We're going to clean it up. He cleans it up. We're here to share a message with people. He'll clean up the dirt. And he sends us back. Amen? Hallelujah. We'll stand up and just praise Jesus. And just think about, and again, think about Jesus. He's telling, he's laying the groundwork. He's speaking to us so that we have an encouragement so we can focus upon him and be encouraged. We do not have a fear. We do not have a fear. Why did Lot's wife look back at Sodom? It's where she wanted to be. See, that's where she was, where her heart was. He's like, and you know what God said? Okay, you can stay. I mean, I said, okay, you can stay. You share Christ with people. I don't know. I like it here. I'm going to stay here. Okay, you get to stay. You get to stay. Amen? So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you gave us a peek into the future. You gave us a peek into the future for our encouragement. If anything, we should be encouraged to do different. It's just, you know, we need to tell people about you, that they're forgiven. And have a home in heaven. Period. That's a good deal. That's a good deal. And what's in heaven is greater than anything we could ever imagine here. Beyond any comprehension. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.